that Jews many times had to flee, they had to run. So they were afraid that the man would have two wives and he would have children from each wife. Let's say he has a son from the first wife and a daughter from the second wife. And he's the father of both children. And he has to flee. And the children have to flee. And they go their own separate ways. And then, like a good novel, you know, they'll meet 20 years later and they'll fall in love and a brother will marry a sister. Nobody will know who anybody is because of the fact that Jewish life became unstable in the Christian countries. For all of the variety of reasons, the ban against polygamy took hold, and it took hold very strongly. And because of the ban against polygamy, as a natural outgrowth of the ban against polygamy, you have the situation that yibum became impossible in certain circumstances. The mitzvah of yibum, as you all know, is what's called the levirate marriage. If a man was married to a woman and the man died and they did not have any children together, so the law in the Torah was that the woman, that the man's brother could marry the woman, even though there's a prohibition against the man ever marrying his wife, his brother's wife. But this prohibition was waived in this particular set of circumstances, and it was a way of preserving the family. Now, if a man was already married to another woman, and now his brother died. So it was according to the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, it was impossible for him to marry because he could not have two wives. And therefore, among Ashkenazic Jews, the general practice was introduced of never allowing yibum in any circumstance in order never to make a difference. And that instead of yibum, the ritual of chalitza is performed, where the woman and the man and the woman reject each other, and then the woman is free to marry outside of the family. Among the Sfardim, yibum remained a viable option till our day. But among the Ashkenazim, it's almost 1,000 years that there's been no yibum. Only chalitza. And that's a corollary to this first ban of Rabbeinu Gershon against polygamous marriage. The second famous law of Rabbeinu Gershon deals with the fact that a woman could no longer be divorced against her will. The law of the Torah is that the husband was allowed to give a divorce to his wife even if she did not wish to accept it. Rabbeinu Gershom's rule was that her voluntary acceptance of the divorce was now necessary. Again, the social reasons behind it, some say that it stemmed from the fact that he banned polygamy. Since he banned polygamy, so then if a man wanted another woman, for some reason he wanted to trade in his wife. So since he could not have a polygamous marriage, so then he would divorce her. And the rabbis opposed, I shouldn't say easy divorce, but certainly frivolous divorce. And that was not a valid reason that the rabbis were willing to allow. And therefore, also for the financial protection of the woman, and for various other social reasons, so Rabbeinu Gershom's takona, his strong law was that the woman had to agree. And if the woman did not agree to the divorce, then the divorce could not be granted.